The reading today is taken from Luke chapter 24, and if you want to follow it in the pew Bibles, you'll find it on page 1061. Luke 24, starting to read at verse 13. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you only a visitor to Jerusalem and do not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to be to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. He said to them, 'How foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? At the beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself.' As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, 'Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?' They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, 'It is true. The Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon.' Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread." This is the word of the Lord.
Have you ever been heavy-hearted because of some events? You went to see your favorite team play an important match, fully expecting them to win, and they lost. England rugby fans know all about that this year. I'm not going to mention Stoke or cricket or anything else. A much-loved character in a book, a film or a TV programme is the Christmas special, and they're written out of it. You fail an exam or a test that you fully expected to pass. I'm sure you can think of other examples, and you walk away from the result with a heavy heart. Your heart's heavy, your feet are heavy, your face is downcast. You don't walk, you plod. You plod your way back home. And your face just tells the whole story. And that's what these two characters are like, walking along. It's the first Easter Sunday, a couple of days before being Good Friday. Jesus had been crucified, died, and put in the tomb. And these two disciples are making their way along this road between Jerusalem and Emmaus, 7 miles, a couple of hours walking. There's Cleopas, and contrary to what Tim said, it's speculation that it's Mrs. Cleopas who's actually with him. They're not one of the 11 disciples, but they're one of the larger group of disciples who accompanied Jesus. And there was a whole group of them that followed Jesus round as he was teaching. And as they plod along, They're discussing what's happened over the last few days. And their faces are downcast and they're sad about what's been going on. You can hear the heaviness in their conversation as they plod along. They were expecting a great celebration, the best Passover ever. And what they got was the worst thing you can imagine. Their friend and leader executed. They were expected to win, and they'd lost in the most horrific way. Someone they loved and looked up to had died in a painful and sadistic manner. They'd put their hope in Jesus, and it had all gone pear-shaped. And what hope have they now? And as they walk along, this fellow traveller joins them. He's listening to their conversation. He's earwigging in on what they're saying. And he must have heard that heaviness in their discussion. And eventually, he joins in. Now, we know it's Jesus. But although these are clearly his disciples, they are somehow kept from recognizing him. Now, we know that other people who met the risen Christ after his resurrection didn't always recognize him straight away. Remember Mary? She thought he was the gardener. But there seems to be something more going on here. We're told that they are kept from recognizing him. Now, there must be a reason for this. The passage doesn't tell us what the reason is. I speculate that if they'd recognized him straight away, he wouldn't have been able to teach them along the way what he wanted them to learn. And so he asked them what events they were discussing. And they're amazed that he hasn't heard about all that's been going on. What, you haven't heard? Our team just lost. And they're surprised that there's anyone who hasn't heard the news about Jesus and what he's been doing and what's happened. Because it must have been headline news at the time. So they go over the events for him, the events of the last few days. They tell him that Jesus was a man that they saw as a prophet, powerful in word and deed. They'd hoped that he was the promised redeemer of Israel, as spoken by the prophets, the promised Messiah who had set his people free, free from oppression, which meant to most Jews that they would be freed from Roman rule, free to do as they pleased, to govern themselves and to worship God as they saw fit. But the authorities had conspired against Jesus to have him arrested and put to death by crucifixion. It must have been a crushing shock to them what had happened to Jesus. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. We had hoped. How hard it is when we put our hope in someone and it all falls apart. It must have been heartbreaking for those disciples who were eyewitnesses to what the authorities had done to Jesus. It's hard for us to imagine how upsetting it must have all been. If you've seen the film, The Passion of the Christ, you might get a sense of how awful it was. It's a hard film to watch. The blood, the pain, the helplessness of it all. Their hopes are completely dashed before their eyes. And this was all just days ago, still fresh in their minds and hearts. They can still feel the pain. And what is more, some women of their group had visited the tomb in the early morning and his body wasn't there. They said they'd received a message from angels saying Jesus was alive. What were they to make of that? Well, others had gone afterwards and supported what the women had said, because you couldn't trust women to tell you what was really going on. The body had gone. They'd established that fact, but they did not see Jesus, is their final comment on the day's activities. Jesus, the one whom they'd all put their hopes in, was missing. Now, we can smile at this situation with Jesus right there walking right by them, but maybe we've been in a similar situation, not seeing what God has really been doing in a particular occasion, and when the answer is right in front of us. And what were they to make of it all? And this is what they were discussing. What's going on? How did it all fit together, if at all? And we've all been there, haven't we? An event has happened, local, national, international. We're trying to make some sense out of it. Political upheaval, of violent acts, wars, hot and cold. We've had plenty of practice over the last few years. You talk to your family and your friends, your work colleagues, you even talk to people in the street about it. We turn it over in our minds and we try and get a handle on this news. And with today's social media, if you use it, you can go on and on endlessly discussing these things. Now here, Jesus takes up the conversation and he rebukes them for their slowness to believe what the scriptures say. He said to them, "How foolish you are and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and enter his glory?" Now, it must have come as a bit of a shock if you're talking to a stranger and they tell you you're a bit slow-minded, you know, you're not catching on to what's going on. But we must remember that Jesus had been teaching these people, he'd been teaching his disciples for the last 3 years. And so what was it that they'd misunderstood? Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? They'd misunderstood the nature of the mission of the Messiah. Rather than being defeated by the torture and execution, Jesus was taking that very difficult pathway to victory over sin and death. And these were much greater enemies to the Jews and more deadly than the Romans would ever be. Suffering was the road he had to take in order to reach his glory. The Jews were expecting a Messiah in the likeness of King David, a warrior king, a king who would physically remove the Romans from the land. To them, it was a sign of God's curse to be hung on a tree, to be crucified. But they'd misread the scriptures, which would have pointed them to God's plan. So now Jesus embarks upon a Bible study as they walk along. Now we have to keep reminding ourselves that the only scriptures they had were the Old Testament. So Jesus goes through the Old Testament writings with them, showing them how they really point to the promised Messiah. And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. Now Cleopas and his companion probably knew these scriptures by heart or well enough to follow the explanation. And it was a huge eye-opener to them. Now I remember when I did my homework at school, when I did it, taking it in, and the physics teacher in particular, he would always mark it there. You'd line up and he'd go through it and mark it. And I would stand there and think, "Oh, why didn't I see that? Why can't I do it like that?" And it would suddenly come to me, well, you know, all the bits I got wrong. And for those who see the answers and they're obvious, and for the rest of us, we just flounder. And I would just like to say thank you to all my long-suffering teachers. And Jesus is here in the Old Testament, just waiting for us to find him. He endorses the Old Testament as pointing to him. The living word, Jesus Christ, explains the written word, the Bible. Now, yes, we have difficulties seeing it ourselves and understanding it, but it's there for our guidance. Looking at one piece of a jigsaw puzzle does not give you the whole picture. You have to look at the finished picture to see where it fits in. And the Old Testament and New Testament combine to make a complete picture. It's been said, to understand the New Testament, read the Old. And to understand the Old Testament, read the New. The two really do go together. And we are privileged to have them both. Now, there's a good selection of books out there. This is an advert. There is a good selection of books out there, commentaries and Bible studies to help you get the most out of your Bible reading. And we've got a book Sunday coming up at the end of April, the 29th. So take full advantage of it. find out what books might help you personally. So back to our travellers. And as they come to the end of their journey, the two companions, obviously very taken with the stranger, they want more of his company. And that's a great Bible study when people are still eager for more at the end. And Jesus pretends that he's going further, that he's going on. But they offer him hospitality for the night. Now, Eastern people are renowned for their generosity and hospitality. But this almost goes beyond that. You can hear it in their voices. They're pleading with him. Come and stay the night with us. Please eat with us. And they still haven't twigged as to who it is. So he stays for the evening meal. And at this point, they see who he really is. He says the grace and breaks the bread. And their eyes are opened. And their jaws drop. And they realize just who it is. Jesus, the risen Lord. But before they can say or do anything, he's gone. And they're left there looking at each other. Across the table, if there was a table. In total astonishment. And they realized the feelings they had as they walked along. The burning hearts were due to his presence. And they instinctively knew that they'd felt the same thing. And they asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? No ordinary Bible study. No ordinary person giving it. How had they not seen? How had they not understood? And their mood instantly changes. It's as though their team, who they were expecting to lose, has won a great victory. And immediately they're up and off to Jerusalem. No plodding feet here. No more heavy hearts. There is now a lightness in their step. They're off to find the 11 disciples to give them this momentous news. Now they're breathless. Breathless because of the journey. Breathless because of what has just taken place. And when they see the 11, before they can even get their story out, they are told of others who have seen the risen Christ. There they found the 11 and those with them, assembled together and saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." The missing Jesus is popping up all over the place. And they get to share their story and it pours out of them. Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. There is no doubt now that Jesus has truly risen from the dead. He has been seen by and spoken to too many people. And I don't suppose anybody got much sleep that night. What was left of it? All the talk about Jesus, who he was and what it all meant. And it would go on for days and weeks and centuries. What changes plodding feet into running feet? The risen Christ. What changes heavy hearts into hearts filled with joy? The risen Christ. And what changes despair into hope? The risen Christ. Everything that changed in these two disciples changed when they realized who Jesus was, when their eyes were opened and they recognized that Jesus really had risen from the dead. All the disciples were changed when they met with the risen Jesus. Peter went from being a coward hiding away to their leader preaching to crowds out in the open. Thomas changed from doubting that Jesus lived to worshiping him as Lord and God. Each of them had a new relationship with Jesus. Their lives were changed, their hopes renewed. And this is the essence of the Christian faith, a relationship with Jesus. And this is the game changer. That what makes the words on the page come alive. Christian lives are not built on rules and rituals or regulations, but on a daily walk with Jesus. And as we read his written word, understanding that he is the living word. And the Gospels, the writings about Jesus, the New Testament, the Old Testament, are all written there for us to understand and believe in the truth about who Jesus is and what he came to do. John, at the end of his Gospel, writes, "But these things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. If you've not really looked closely at the claims of Jesus, maybe now is the time to give it some thought. And we would be delighted to help anyone look at what Jesus said and who he is, to get a handle on why he lived and died and the truth of the resurrection. If you want to find out more, do please ask me or Simon or one of the other members of the team, and we would be happy to find time to talk with you. Please do ask. For those of you who do know and believe in Jesus as their risen Lord, what great news this is. This is the best news ever. We can know that our faith does not rest on rituals or regulations. It does not rest on what we can or cannot do. Whatever this life may throw at us, and it will throw everything it can to persuade us otherwise, our faith rests firmly on Christ our Lord, our Redeemer and risen Saviour. To him be glory and honour forever and ever. Amen.